Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the News Hour. I'm going to talk today about some real gunfire, some real guns. The book that I want to talk about is My Brother in Arms. It's an account of somebody that I didn't even know anything about the job description until I read the book, a combat controller. His brother, Thad Forrester, has written a book about his brother, Mark, who was a combat controller, and you just can't probably find anything much more dangerous to do than combat controller, and nobody gets drafted for that job. That's apparently one that you got to have a real desire to see the action, and I guess you're almost guaranteed to see action. Is that right, Thad?
It seems like it. Definitely where Mark was deployed, for sure.
Oh, my. I was just amazed at the tenacity with which he pursued. I mean, even when he's in a combat zone, I remember one of the notes I made, something was happening. I forget the circumstances, but he pushed somebody else out of the way so he could take point. He was one of a kind.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what, you know, the book portrays, and hopefully that's one thing the readers get from it. And, you know, one thing to be clear is I'm not some mourning brother trying to make Mark out to be some perfect superhero person. I mean, he had faults, and but he was definitely a step above the rest.
Oh, my. From what you've reported, I don't think there can be any doubt of that. Why don't you just describe for us what in the world is a combat controller? Because I certainly didn't know. Maybe people that are more familiar with military would know, but I certainly had never heard of it until I read your wonderful book, My Brother in Arms.
Yeah, most people don't know anything about it, it's even people in the Air Force, but it's the special operations component of the Air Force, and it's got a, you know, you'll hear people in other branches of the military who work with them will definitely admit, hey, that's a tough job, and, you know, and we know the other guys that have the jobs like the SEALs and the Special Forces, Green Berets, and some of those guys, I mean, they definitely get the attention, and there's very hard training regiment with them. But the controllers have a, you know, some people would argue it's even an even tougher job. But they, one thing about them is they attach to other special operations teams. So you're not going to have the same combat controllers deploy together all the time. You're going to have one or two guys attached to a SEAL team, to a Ranger team, or, you know, an SF team, and they have to be able to blend with those guys and work with their their lingo and their personalities. And and so Mark was attached to an SF team in Afghanistan, and about halfway through his deployment, he got a new team. And so there's a whole new dynamic there to have to deal with. But I think you're asking what they really do. And really, they're kind of the guys on the ground who control the aircraft and control it's the close air support. And so they're fighting, but they're also dropping the bombs and the shows of force and the strafing runs.
In other words, you can't get all the information you need for the Air Force, for the planes, for the helicopters, electronically. Somebody's got to be there on the ground with the ability to assess what he's seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty of times when, you know, they shoot the grenades out, and the smoke grenades, and say, okay, 30 meters, where you see the red smoke, the enemy is, you know, north 30 meters, something like that. So, yeah, you got to have eyes on the ground because, obviously the guys in the air, whatever aircraft they're in, they can't see everything.
often, I guess, he was operating in or near a canopy of trees. There was a lot of concealment, not necessarily for him all the time. I remember one episode where you report that he was talking to somebody and he said, well, can you see that tree line? And I said, yeah. He said, is that where you are? He says, no, I'm the dummy out in the middle of that field next to it.
Yeah, standing in the wide open field like a big dummy, yeah.
Ooh, I don't think I would have been keeping him company, that's for sure. That's a pretty tough line of work because, well, obviously you're physically fit, but you've got to have a... From what I gather, he was able to process all different kinds of information and situations simultaneously, which made him very valuable in his job description.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's you're maybe getting shot at, so you've got enemy coming at you. You've got your team. You're trying to get permission from maybe somebody farther away to do certain bomb drops, and so you've got multiple aircraft overhead. So you may have an AH-64 Apache. You may have an F-18. You know, and you've got to know what ordnance they can drop, and so there's a lot of things you got to process. And so these guys that are controllers, I mean, they're to me, yeah, they're very impressive.
And I guess the job they do is pretty essential because I don't know any other way you can get that kind of information and use the attack aircraft. I guess the specialty aircraft designed for close in support, and it's not going to happen nearly as effectively if there's not somebody there on the ground that is basically their eyes on the ground.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. And, you know, there's other branches of the military have their own version. Some of them do their own version of a combat controller that they may call I just went blank on the name. But anyway, the combat controllers, I mean, that's their specialty. So, yeah, that's why I think there's a lot of special operations missions around the world that, you know, the ones that we hear about and the ones we don't, that I think most of them have an Air Force combat controller attached to them. You just may not read. You may read, you know, a team of, you know, 8 SEALs or something. But lots of times there's a controller with them.
Interesting. And the main job then is to make sure that the air support is able to function maximally.
Correct. Correct. Or to set up an airfield if need be.
The you quote one of the one of his commanders, Colonel Hughes, who describes Mark going into battle with a smile. Now, I didn't get the impression that it was loopy. It's just that he was at ease. He was enjoying his work. He was not uptight.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you relate that to us, you know, whenever I've maybe moved or gotten a job that I know was right, that I know was that kind of like what is my mission or what God wants for me or my family, you know, it just, I feel very confident in it and happy in it. And I think Mark knew he was doing he knew he was doing what he was supposed to be doing at the time. And it was his calling in life, and so at least for a period. And so he really enjoyed it and didn't really flinch at the opportunities to take the fight to the enemy.
From what you know of his death, it seems that he was not only in battle because he was close enough to get shot, but he was given as good as he was getting from the forensic information from the autopsy. Pretty evident that he had his rifle raised and was probably firing when he got shot.
Yeah, that's the way it looks, and by all accounts of the few people that were nearby. And this was a situation where you talk about the tree line earlier. You know, the canopy there provided protection not only from the enemy, but also at times the aircraft even just trying to see Mark, because you know there were Apaches right above that were very low and they couldn't do anything.
It was just also so close and so undercover. My goodness, that's just hard for me to imagine. I'm very grateful that there are people like your brother that are willing to do that. Going to be back and talk some more with Thad Forrester about. My Brother in Arms is a wonderful account of his air controller brother, Mark Andrew Forrester.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit to per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Okay, folks, we're talking today about a specialty occupation, the aircraft, the combat controller in the Air Force is a guy who is, he may fly planes from time to time, but he's the one on the ground. He's giving the assessment of what is happening so that tons of steel that are flying nearby can drop their ordnance and fire their artillery in an effective fashion, even when they probably can't see what they're doing. They're counting on guys like Mark Forrester, who was a combat controller in the Air Force, to give them that report from the ground as to where they need to be and what they need to do. And sometimes they will hear, "We need you now." It gets pretty intense during this job. And I just continue to be very impressed that somebody would actually seek this out. Apparently he was motivated after September 11 to do something like this.
He was. In 01, he was serving as a full-time missionary for our church. So here he was in service, to others, and 9/11 happened, so he knew that when he got home and he'd always planned on going to college and getting a 4-year degree. And so it was kind of a burning inside of him to say, I need to do my part to help fight evil and defend our freedoms. And so that was his plan. He didn't at that point know in what way, what branch, but he studied it out while he was in school and went to San Antonio and ended up meeting some combat controllers, and that's how it happened. I mean, he didn't know about them either before he decided that's what he was going to do.
It just seemed that he wanted to be where the action would be most likely to take place, where it would be most likely to be intense. He was that kind of guy, and apparently it wasn't all that surprising because he was certainly not a bookworm, even though he was quite a good student, but he was not a bookworm growing up. He was always out doing kind of adventurous things, we could say.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we grew up on a lot of land, and playing outside was just what we did. And we came in when Mom rang the bell, and we could hear it from quite a ways away in the woods. And one reason, one thing Mark did to make sure he got in the action as much as possible is he enlisted instead of going in as an officer. He had a 4-year degree, and everybody said, "Mark, you're dumb. Go in as an officer. We have a brother in the Air Force. He's a doctor." He's like, "Mark, come on. You don't want to enlist." And so Mark felt like his opportunities to get better deployments would be increased if he enlisted. So he went in and started from the ground up. He enlisted when he was 26. So he's in basic training with a lot of 18-year-olds. And, clearly he was more mature than most at the time. And I think that just continued with him throughout the pipeline. And the instructors knew that this guy was definitely prepared.
Definitely prepared and definitely motivated. Wow.
Yeah.
So seems like he was very much a straight arrow from your description. He would actually go and tell somebody to cool it on the potty mouth.
That happened at times. I mean, that's, once again, I'm not trying to make him out to be perfect at all, but he was consistent in his standards, and we found this out. I mean, I knew that anyway, but when you're across the other side of the world and you're in a very high stress environment, there's a lot of things that could happen that you just normally wouldn't do in your everyday life. And so by all accounts, and people say this guy, I mean, he was consistent no matter what. And, he was also very, friendly, and so he wasn't preachy at all, but there were times when he maybe asked somebody to cool it a little bit, or hey, look, there's families around, in their training in the States. Mm-hmm. There's families around. Be quiet. You're in the wrong. Don't talk like that.
And that's it's not surprising that he would have those opportunities, because one of the things that struck me over the years is that police and probably to a considerable extent military, if you can make a generalization, might be want to use some pretty off-color language, and sometimes just in routine conversation, it seems to go with a job description. I don't know. So it kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you take a military, and that's the norm for sure.
So that would make him stand out, and yet, as you say, he didn't apparently come across as preachy because he wasn't. At least you don't report him being resented by people as, oh, here comes that goody two shoes.
Yeah, you know, at least I've wanted everyone to be honest with me when I researched his time deployed and even his time in the training pipeline. So, yeah, it sounds like everybody just respected him. So that's Forrester. And, yeah, we tease him at times because he doesn't drink and he doesn't smoke and he doesn't swear. But, you know, we respect him because he's consistent in his beliefs, no matter the circumstance.
And as they got into combat, they realized that's a guy you want to be around.
Yeah. Yeah, he you know, think about his first deployment. His first and only deployment was to an area at the time it was called Fob Cobra. I mean, that was the most coveted area for combat controllers because, you were guaranteed to get so much action at the time.
And FOB is what, forward operating base?
Correct. And, you know, there were people that were not happy about him going because, you know, they felt like they'd earned it. They had had more deployments under their belt, so they had the experience. But his leaders said, you know, he's ready. And so I think, fortunately, he was able to start proving himself, you know, right away once he got to base and got to work.
I like the one comment that you grabbed from somebody that you had interviewed, a fellow by the name of Jason Stanley. He only saw Mark get excited about two things, America and Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, that was a big part of our life for sure.
That wouldn't be a bad epitaph for anybody, you know?
You're right, exactly. Yeah, I try to lay off the Chick-fil-A shakes because of the fat and the cows, but once a year on his birthday, I at least get one.
Well, he would have had trouble with that because you say he had lactose intolerance, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he kept a pill nearby.
That is Chick-fil-A supply. All right. Well, good. Now, I'm going to, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about video games because it struck me kind of funny when you mentioned it in his life. Anyway, we're talking about my brother in arms, Mark Andrew Forrester, and his brother Thad has written a book about this exceptional guy. We'll be back.
So Mark and I are out at the range shooting our AR-15 rifles built from AR-15 kits from Guns80.com when Dave walks up and he says, "Hey, did you guys hear about Jade Helm? You know, the government doesn't care about the Posse Comitatus Act. And Jade Helm, the troops are going to come and they may come after us and blah, blah, blah." And I'm thinking, oh my God, dude, look. I take a 30-shot magazine. I put it in my AR-15 built from a kit from Guns80.com. I unload it on the target. Jade Helm? I mean, really? Guns80.com. 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 Go now.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order. KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
In an unpredictable world, it's good to know you are in control of food, your greatest dependency. Go Foods are storable for 25 years, quick fix, non-GMO, kosher, health store quality food at discount store prices delivered to your door. Go Foods is there when you need it most. Feed your free to packages available with up to 3 months of food for free. Call Go Foods at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Well, we're talking today about combat and a guy that had been in combat, his brother Thad Forrester, has written a book, My Brother in Arms. His brother, Mark Andrew Forrester, was a combat controller. It's an Air Force, very specialty type of assignment. And as we were describing, he's the guy out on the point of the spear, helping the aircraft in the area be as precise and useful as possible and hopefully not blow up their own guys. I guess Mark would have been one of those with that same hope because this was up close. This was very fast moving. So the amount of precision and steely nerves had to be pretty considerable. But I'm going to have trouble, I think, with my grandchildren who I think abuse video games, because you've made the observation that actually it's pretty good prep for one of these combat controllers.
Turns out it was, yeah. He definitely spent some time on some video games in college, and there were many nights when we lived together when he was in college where I went to bed and he was up for hours, him and some other friends playing.
And who would have thought it was preparation for what he was going to do after 9/11?
Yeah, I know. And then, in fact, he played some, you know, in the military, and his skills just continued. I think he impressed a lot of people in the same career field.
Well, who would have thought? One of his underlying motivations really kind of made my heart thump. He was asked, well, why do you want to do this? You were saying, you know, guy, you've got a college degree. Why don't you become an officer? And his answer, more than once, apparently, from what I gather in the book, My Brother in Arms, was, I want to kill bad guys. That I think that's what God wants me to do.
Yeah. I mean, it was a matter of fact statement, and he wasn't saying it to joke. I mean, there was a little bit of maybe some tongue in cheek to it, but really, that's what he felt. Is and there's an instance that I talk about is in basic training. This happened, yeah, more than once for sure, but probably the first time was in basic training, and the instructors were going around saying, "Why do you want to be in the Air Force?" And each guy would say some typical answer, you know, to prepare me for college or prepare me for the rest of my life, or it's a tradition, or, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. And Mark, with a stone cold face, says, "God told me to kill terrorists." And, you know, it floored, you know, everybody. And so the same thing happened once he got in the training pipeline, and, you know, silent, awkward silence. And, but that was a conviction that he had. And, he felt strongly about it, that he was here to help protect the innocent and our freedoms, and to destroy those who try to take that from us.
That has got to blow up a lot of liberal heads who, for one thing, have trouble really thinking that there's good and evil, and if there is, we're the bad guys, and the others are just victims of what we've done in the world. He didn't have any of those hang-ups, that's for sure.
No, I mean, I hope that's one thing that people get from the book is, of course, they should get it from all kinds of sources, but there really are evil people out there trying to kill us because of our way of life. And if we sit back and do nothing, that's what they'll do. And so we need men like Mark and the many other, many good men and women in the military to help protect us and to keep that from happening.
Well, I was glad to get the report from this village elder that you had in the book. He had interacted with Mark, and I guess he was saying this, of course, after Mark had been killed, and this elder said that he hoped that Americans understand that not all Afghans are Talib. And I thought, you know, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, certainly. And there's, you know, my gut is like, you know, I'm not going to trust any of them. But, you know, there are some good ones. There has to be. And Mark definitely showed some affection towards the kids. And you can read about that and them, you know, taking them candy and spending time with them and working with some of them on the alphabet, the English alphabet. And then I know there was one interpreter in particular that Mark really liked. And we've been in touch with him multiple times since, him and his broken English. But Mark really liked that guy, even though he was Afghan.
I would imagine the interpreter is nearly as gutsy a guy as anybody else you're going to find, because if he's going to be interpreting, he has to be kind of out where it's all happening.
I think so, and I think too it's very risky just because of the other people in this country that don't agree with what he's doing. Maybe they think he's a traitor or something. And
you and I can leave a combat zone, but those poor guys, they never leave.
No, and I know that he's definitely been in harm's way, and not on the battlefield, but just because of his job that he did. He's expressed that to us before.
Any thought of ever helping him find a line of work somewhere else, getting him out of there?
Well, he's trying to do that and working with the U.S. Embassy, I believe, maybe in Germany. I can't remember if that's it or what location, but he's trying to get him and his family out of there. And so we have tried to put him in touch with someone at an embassy, and that's as far as we've gone.
Well, I hope you're successful, because I think somebody like that needs to be taken care of. They, I've heard of them having been savaged later on, and it really grieves me to think that we would leave them behind.
Yeah, certainly.
So, let's see. I enjoyed reading that there was some kind of instant gratification, if you will, when they would go into these areas and they would clear out the Taliban. It made it so that people that had been forced out of their homes were able to return.
Absolutely. I mean, and sometimes it was a matter of a day later. you know, yeah, it was instant. And even the area Mark was killed in the village, excuse me, called Shamashat, and or sometimes it was the area was referred to as Jangalak. And basically the reports I got were immediately after that day, commerce opened back up in that area. And even though Mark and another American, Calvin Harrison, were killed that day, and some Afghan nationals, we still at least came out ahead as far as clearing the area from Taliban control that hadn't been free from it for many years.
I hope the area is still clear. It would be a shame to think that he paid such a price and it was only temporary.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know the answer to that, but that's definitely something to think about.
One of the things that came to mind, one of the teammates had said that Mark was a guy who ran toward the sound of enemy fire, always made his way to the front of the formation. The thing that came to my political mind was back in, I guess it was 96, when Pat Buchanan was running for president, and people had asked, well, how can you help? How can they help? And he said, just run to the sound of the fire. Go wherever you're needed, in other words. And that's a kind of a cute thing to say in a political campaign, but it's a little bit different when you're talking about being a combat controller.
Yeah, you know, I remember Mark telling me when he was in, I think, Sears School, and how they were going over, it was a POW situation, and they asked for a volunteer. Or they were wanting someone to be there, the POW.
And so if it was a risky job,
he volunteered.
Forrester's hand went up right away, I bet you. Talking with Thad Forrester, the brother of Mark Andrew Forrester, who has had a book written about him by his brother, My Brother in Arms. It's a really neat read, folks. Be right back.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a four-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit to per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today about a soldier's soldier, Thad Forrester, who was a combat controller for the United States Air Force, fought in Afghanistan. And his brother, Thad, has written this book about Mark, My Brother in Arms. We've been talking about that. The kind of person that's out there on the point fighting for this country. And he's not just a one-dimensional guy. He wasn't just a soldier. He actually had other interests in life, and one of them was a gal he was kind of serious about. And they sort of had different paths in life, it turned out, and I thought it was great the way you summed it up. She had a T-shirt that said John 3:16 on it, and his T-shirt said infidel.
Yeah, interesting comparison there. Yeah, which of course in no way means that Mark didn't believe in the John 3:16, because he certainly did. But yeah, that was I think that kind of summed up their relationship, and it just really ended up, it was not going to go any further. But they were on good terms, and at one point he definitely wanted to marry the girl, and we've been in touch, and I know she's married now, but I know she struggled for a long time with Mark's death.
Oh, I can bet. Well, she was serious about her interest in Christianity. She had gone to Spain to study, I guess, teaching, English as a second language or something like that. But anyway, she'd gone to Spain as part of her preparation. So she was pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she was, no doubt. But so they were, you know, it's just one of those things where religion was very important to both of them, and they just couldn't really get on the same page exactly.
Well, as it turned out, I guess the tragedy of Mark's death solved that problem. Wow, that's a heart tugger. One of the descriptions of Mark's activity, and I don't remember the context, maybe you can fill it in, but one of his... I guess it was a Captain Curry, recalled that at one point the only vehicle available was a golf cart, and there goes Mark attacking the enemy in a golf cart.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if he was really attacking or if he was just kind of exposing himself more than he should have in a golf cart. But, yeah, that was definitely one of the Apache pilots sharing that with us, that he there was marking the most sophisticated vehicle in Afghanistan.
Well, I guess in Afghanistan that could be a fairly sophisticated vehicle.
Right, right.
So, what kind of plans do you think Mark had had he been able to come back from this tour of duty?
Well, he never planned to be a career military guy. Mark really his biggest desire was to get married and have a family, and he had wanted that all along. He just, you know, just hadn't happened yet, which is okay. I mean, he was 29 when he was killed, and that was a priority of his, but he wasn't going to sit around and just, you know, wait for the right girl to fall in his lap. I mean, he was looking, but he also continued with his career. So that's what he wanted, and he and I talked a lot about what we could do together as brothers, you know, and to start a business with his skills. And we hadn't pinpointed, but we knew with his skills and experience, man, we could do something, and we could work together and have a little family business. But it was never figured out.
I find it remarkable that a guy that had such a desire to go kill bad guys also had other dimensions, and he didn't see that as the way he was going to spend his whole life, at least while he's physically at his prime to be able to do things like that, and that he was going to come back and be another guy just like the rest of us.
Yeah, he wanted to be, and you know, this Mark had a near photographic memory. So, and you know, the grades he got in school, he could have done even much better, but you know, he didn't have to study hard. And he was one of those people that we all know that kind of makes you mad when they don't study and they still get a better grade than you when you do study a lot. So
it's hard to like people like that. It's very hard to like people like that. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, he had a degree in business finance, and he could have done something with that, but although that really wasn't him.
You know, I saw something in common with the American Sniper. You reported that Mark did not delight in violence and killing. What he was trying to do was serve his country and protect his teammates. And if Chris Kyle had something that he would say that I remember, was something very similar to that, that he was the American Sniper because he was out there protecting people.
Yeah, I mean, the liberal media that wants to portray our military as cold-blooded savages are just way off the mark. And I'm sure there may be a few bad apples there that way. But you think of, yeah, I know how Chris Kyle was portrayed, and I think about Mark, and they didn't delight in the bloodshed, but they had a mission and they had a job. And, hey, somebody's got to do it. I mean, nobody wants their kid to go to war, I'm sure, or their brother or anyone they love. But we got to have some good people out there doing it. And fortunately, we had people like Chris Kyle and people like Mark and many others.
I've seen the phrase used before, and I think you used it. He was a born sheepdog. I've read about people that have been in military, been police particularly, and they view themselves as sheepdogs, that they were born to protect even those that don't necessarily even appreciate what they're doing. They have a mission in life to protect. And I think the metaphor of the sheepdog is probably a very apt one.
Oh, yeah. Sure is. You know, Dave Grossman wrote about that, and I think that just applies to Mark and many others, but I loved applying that to Mark and his whole life, actually.
So quite an amazing outlook, really. I find it exceptional that he would volunteer for this kind of intense military engagement, and yet he didn't even see that as a career. This was just something that he felt called to do, and he was going to do it for that season, and then he was going to do other things in life. And that, I'd like to say again, that's not what I think the liberal worldview can understand. They just can't imagine that, well, for one thing, they have trouble accepting the idea that there are bad guys like Islamic extremists or just bad guys for no good reason at all, and that somebody needs to deal with them. And they have trouble with that. And obviously, Mark didn't have any trouble with that at all.
No, he accepted his mission, and he fulfilled it. I mean, he not only fulfilled it, he magnified his calling on earth.
You know, I was very touched with the way you described the, you think of the military especially as kind of an awkward bureaucracy, and they do what they do well, which is to kill people and destroy things. But then when it comes to other things, hurry up and wait. It's sort of the motto. And yet the way they handled reporting to the family that Mark had been killed, I thought was very moving.
Oh, yeah, and we feel very strongly about that process, how it happened. I mean, they didn't send just some local Air Force rep from a base close to us. They sent people who knew Mark, who were his trainers, who were his teammates, commanders, whoever they were. And Mark had wanted, he had requested simultaneous notifications with myself and also with my parents if anything happened to him. And they did it. And the behind the scenes work to make that happen, you know, was not easy. And they had to, you know, airplanes and cars and staking out houses, but they did it the right way. And what's also great is they've really kept in touch and taken great care of us.
So he obviously didn't think he was invincible, because he had made these very specific requests that if I don't make it back, here's what I would like to have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know from some conversations he had. Well, even conversations I had with him, it just seemed like, you know, the amount. We didn't tell each other we loved each other, rarely, right? Brothers normally just don't do that a lot, but
right.
While he was deployed, for sure, that started increasing. And how often he would tell me that. And so, I think it was on his mind at least a little bit.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Listen, we've been talking with Thad Forrester, a book about his brother, Mark Forrester, My Brother in Arms, a United States Air Force combat controller. It's a real doozy. What an occupation, even if only for a season. Thad, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great being here. Thank you.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention, do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.